Blog Talk Radio.
America.
broke out into a little bit of a sweat with that tune. I think it's the greatest song that Ray Charles has ever sung. Today is July 4th, 2011. We're here in beautiful Washington, D.C., the United States of America, planet Earth. Very crowded, as one might expect. Fireworks going off all over the place. I watched the evening's fireworks, and I was just so, you know, Washington, D.C. is not to be outdone by any municipality here in the United States when it comes to fireworks, by any state in the union when it comes to proper fireworks display. The place is packed. Tourists are here from all over. I am looking out my window right now as I do this, host this vlog talk show, looking out over the Potomac. I can see the Capitol. I can see, well, I can't see the Capitol. I can see the Watergate Hotel and a lot of the office buildings from here. I'm looking out over the Potomac, and I see airplanes flying out of Ronald Reagan Airport. They're coming, you know, over my house every 10 minutes or so. Can be quite annoying, but I wouldn't have it any other way. There are folks out in the park right now. The park is packed, sitting out, at the water's edge and just taking in all the the variety of fireworks displays that are going on. And I feel extremely happy today. America, the great experiment. Today is a great day, only to be overshadowed by a lot of what's going on, what I would be considered a war on patriotism. We have this war on Christianity. We have a war on God by liberals. And now that war has been extended to a war on patriotism. And we'll get into that. We only have an hour to do this show tonight because I've got some stuff to do out on the mall, if I can get there, out near President Lincoln's memorial is, and I got to get over there before it gets too late. But in the meantime, I just I'm very pleased about what's going on today. We have a caller here right away, so we better go ahead and get to him. 804, you're on with the C. Robert Jones Conservative Radio Report.
Hi, happy 4th of July. You're so right about what's going on with the country, and I'm standing in my truth, and I'd like to share a blog with you, if I may. I don't have email, so if you Google the word creativity, the number 777.com, that will bring it up. You'll see on the blog a letter from President Obama to me related to the economy. Mm-hmm. There's also a very powerful little poem I created as a motivator in my own life. It's in the President Ronald Reagan Library. It's discussed as a weapon against terrorism, and I'm currently using it to help the people of Haiti who can't help themselves. The poem is only 3 lines long. It's titled Caring, Sharing. It reads, if you dare to care, then share. If you share, pay heed. God will reward every good deed. It sort of sums up what life should be all about and what we should be doing to get this country back on track, to interact with people in our communities, drop the racial baloney, and start learning that we're all connected. And you know, if a disaster happens, you may have to depend on your neighbor and vice versa. So it's time to start coming into our communities and really empowering them. And I have strategies that I'm releasing that will benefit businesses, individuals, and communities that are of absolutely no risk. They're totally transparent, highly ethical and moral, and very spiritually oriented.
Sounds good. I love it. Love it already.
Well, I would love to interact with you because I have a lot of documentation throughout my whole life that I think when people see just who I am and what I've been through, and I am facing anything, I have no fear. I'm a Vietnam-era veteran, and I'm just living currently in Ashland, Virginia. It's a little town north of Richmond, which bills itself ironically the center of the universe. I'm self-proclaimed, Hugh, the heartbeat of America, and I'm known as that in the National Museum of Patriotism in Atlanta, Georgia. And Ashland is in Hanover County, which is where Patrick Henry grew up, who said, "I regret
indeed
have but one life to give to my country. I feel just like him. I've been spirit driven to be here to do what I'm doing."
Caller, one of the listeners in the room, Mary, great person. She'd like to know your name, so she can look you up.
Okay, I'll give you my full name. It's Hugh, H-U-G-H, and the last name is Trawlson, T like Tom, R-A-U-L-S-E-N as in Nancy.
Mm-hmm.
And my last name has global recognition in the food service field. My father was a self-made entrepreneur, manufacturer of commercial refrigerators and freezers. They were in hotels, hospitals, schools, restaurants, all around the country and around the world. He passed on in 1990. The company is currently owned by Hobart and headquartered down in Fort Worth, Texas. But if you Google Trawlson and Company Incorporated, it'll give a little company history. During the Second World War, he was making metal containers to help preserve food on the front lines. As a young boy, I recall touring the first nuclear submarine, the Nautilus, because his refrigerators were on there. And my mother was a supermodel back in her day, and she actually posed for Wave recruitment posters during the World War.
Okay.
So I have entrepreneurism and patriotism both running through my blood, and I have, again, no risk strategies that perhaps you can help me get the information out to empower businesses, individuals, and communities.
I would be honored to do so. Thank you very much. I do appreciate
that. The email on the blog wouldn't come to me, so if you see my phone number whenever it's convenient, if you could just give me a call, and I'll be happy to explain more about myself. And I just will interject also, I was written up in a front-page Wall Street Journal article, which was dated Wednesday, April 27th, 1983, written by staff reporter Jonathan Quitney, spelled K-W-I-T-N-Y, and Wikipedia missed the Quitney's name. He was quite a reporter. I exposed the federal government bureaucrat for fraud in that article. I believe he was a CIA operative at the time. He was engaged to the daughter of Jim Wright, who went on to become the Speaker of the House. But that article put Mr. Wright in the spotlight. I was interviewed by a bureau chief from another newspaper who dogged Mr. Wright until eventually he resigned the speaker position in shame. The whole article came about from one short memo that had been sent to me that I activated when I saw things weren't quite right. So I have a self-taught expertise of what I term creative utilization of information. I'm an unlimited well of creativity as well as a creative intelligent force. It's a very powerful combination, but anybody can be that, and that's what I want to show people.
Great. I have taken the number down that is here on the switchboard, and I will gladly give you a call after the show is over or anytime tomorrow.
Terrific. That's terrific. I knew this is a turning point day for this country, and we will get it back on track, but we have to do it with the grace of God and go into our hearts, live from our hearts, not our heads, and come together in caring, sharing ways, and we'll do it.
Well, indeed. Indeed we shall, and I hope that that you continue to listen. And hold on, I want to just get a couple of things out of the way, and then we'll get back. And if there's anything else you want to add, we'll get to it when I finish up this little bit of work I need to do here.
Sure. Thank you very much.
You're very, very welcome. Okay, another thing I'd like to give, this is a great caller, and I do appreciate all the information that he has provided and what he wants to do. I think it's a great thing. I'd like to go ahead and give thanks on this 4th of July for many, many things, but one is for my good friend Tesla. As many of you know, Tesla has been absent from Blog Talk for a short period of time due to an illness, which I am not at liberty to disclose at this time. However, I spoke with him earlier this afternoon. I'm not sure if he disclosed his medical issue on his blog talk show this afternoon. I was only able to listen to the very first part of it before I was called to leave. He is feeling so much better, and I was grateful to be able to speak with him. I have known quite a few folks who have suffered from the very illness that has afflicted or befallen my good friend Tesla, and I wish him well. I wonder if anybody in the chat room has been told what is the issue with my good friend. If so, then you already know. Well, that is correct. Love my whiskey. That is correct. Then some of you do know what's happened with Tesla. I spoke with him today, and he still asked that I not reveal what his issue is, and I want to go ahead and respect his wishes as I would anyone else, including all of you in this room. Okay, so then Tesla did mention it, so now it's out there. Okay, very good. Well, now that we know, and now that he himself has mentioned it, then that is indeed the case. It was not as severe as it could have been. At the time, Tesla was in fact alone, and he had the presence of mind to call an ambulance himself and get himself to the hospital in a timely fashion. And he does so much better over the phone than he does at any other time. He speaks just as you would hear him on his Blog Talk Radio show. But on his Blog Talk Radio show, he seems to have a little bit of trouble. But he is recovering nicely. I am so grateful for that. We love him. He's a great guy. He was the first Blog Talk radio host to befriend me on Blog Talk, asking for my phone number after listening to a couple of shows and offering me some advice and some guidance on how best to conduct my show, and I so appreciated that. And so now we've got that little bit of business out of the way. Let's get on with the show. As we celebrate the birth of our great nation today, it's worth recalling why our country came to be and why it has been throughout its history a beacon of the dispossessed. And I'm taking what I'm about to say from a piece on Fox News. And it goes like this. The United States was founded by men and women seeking freedom and independence from England. They revolted against the taxes imposed by the far-off king, by a far-off king who wanted too large a share in the prosperity of the fast-growing colony. Does that sound familiar? Today, just as in 1776, there is a struggle taking place between those producing our country's wealth and those who would like to take it away. This tension exists not just in the United States, but across the developed world. For example, in Greece, in the UK, and in other financially pressed lands, those whose fortunes are tied to tax collections, public service workers, retirees, collecting government-administered pensions, and those unable to fend for themselves are resisting cutbacks imposed by the financial crisis. Through the recession brought this confrontation, though the recession brought this confrontation forward by many years, it was in all these countries inevitable. As growth has slowed in the developed world, the ever-rising plenty that funded spiraling social services and the public sector has dwindled. it's now a battle between the fundees and the funded and the funders. The debate today over the debt ceiling and cutting government spending is not just about the reckoning of budgets and accounts. There is a profound disagreement about whether the burden of consistently widening support services will eventually dishearten the productive class, our productive class. And, of course, this is a debate worth having. I take you back to some earlier Blog Talk radio shows when I mentioned Atlas Shrugged. And in Atlas Shrugged, the producers, those who produce the wealth in the country, went on strike against the looters, those who would seek to profit and benefit like so many leeches and ticks on the backs of those who produce. So hopefully those of you who are not as well-versed in Atlas Shrugged, Ayn Rand's novel, Atlas Shrugged, are now much more aware of it and how it applies here to everyday world, every current events. Now, the world has generally come to agree that communism, at least as it is practiced, or at least as it was practiced in the Soviet Union and Cuba, failed because the philosophical underpinning was untrue. And that was, Marx believed in a world where workers would be motivated by the common good. And of course he was wrong. It turns out that self-interest is the great motivator of humankind. The astonishing rise of China came about because its leaders acceded to this reality and allowing workers there to enrich themselves. As a consequence, hundreds of millions have emerged from poverty. The greatest economic expansion the world has ever seen is now going on in China. Now, the United States has long managed a prudent balance between protecting the rights of workers and of employers, of investors and retirees, of taxpayers and public sector workers. Today, though, many feel that that carefully wrought balance is askew. Our land of opportunity has become a land of limitation, folks. This is not the first time this tension has surfaced. Economist Gary Schilling noted that Ronald Reagan became president at the moment when the country first had more people taking from the government than contributing to it. This is the number of people have paying taxes into the system had been eclipsed by those relying on unemployment, Social Security, welfare, and Veterans Administration payments. That year, 1980, we elected Ronald Wilson Reagan, my main man and yours, who set about to unleash the great capabilities of our entrepreneurs and manufacturers, our business people, our small business managers, and all those who, at the end, allow us to care for those in need. He didn't dismiss that obligation. No, he didn't. But he realized how it might best be met. Welfare's proposed should be, I guess what he said was, no, I'm sure what he said was welfare's purpose should be to eliminate as far as possible the need for its own existence. And actually, I applaud President Clinton because he actually believed that as liberal as he was. He believed that, and he did take steps in that direction. So we got to give a little bit of a hand to Clinton for that effort, even though he was pretty much forced into it. by Republicans, he did make that move. Now, faced with an inflation rate of 11% and rising unemployment, which ultimately topped out at close to 11%, Reagan moved to cut back the sway of government, diffusing entangling regulation that had stymied growth and frustrated those trying to do business. His credo was what? It's not my intention to do away with government. It is rather to make it work. Work for us, not over us. Stand by our side, not ride on our back. Government can and must provide opportunity, not smother it. Foster productivity, not stifle it. And I'm digging all of that and so much more. Because here's the thing. We have, right now with this administration, a war on America itself. We have a war on prosperity. We have a war on Christianity. We have a war on God. We have a war on religion in general. We have an overall war on patriotism. Check this out. Captain America is not the Captain America in some countries where the movie is going to be released. He's going to be called the Avenger, the First Avenger, the Captain, Capo. Or maybe he'll be called O3 in some countries. An O3, an O1 is a second lieutenant. An O2 is a first lieutenant in the Marine Corps Navy. I mean, in Marine Corps Air Force and Army. An O3 is a captain. So he might even be called an O3 in some countries. Here in America, thankfully he'll be called Captain America, the First Avenger. And let's hope God, you know what, God is going to win. But you know what, I believe he's going to require some help from us. We have a war on the 4th of July. The New York Times stated earlier this week that the 4th of July kills the planet. Harvard states that the July 4th parade are right wing. A 4th of July parade celebrating the birth of this country shouldn't be about politics. Aren't we all Americans? We're all Americans. Why is it about politics? Right wing, left wing, liberal, Democrat. I don't think that Captain America, I never once, reading Captain America comics, Marvel comics, as a child, viewed Captain America as being a Democrat or a Republican, a liberal or a conservative. He stands for America. That's what it was all about. Why does being about being an American have anything to do with your political party? But yet, Harvard University suggests that to celebrate the 4th of July means that you are right wing. In some places, you can't hang the American flag. How is it that you can't hang the American flag in the city of brotherly love, Philadelphia? How is that possible? Compromise on the Pledge of Allegiance in Oregon. Town has some folks seeing red. Compromise on the Pledge of Allegiance? U.S. veteran faces legal action for flying the American flag here in America. NBC once again cuts Under God from Pledge of Allegiance. A judge who believes in green ruins San Diego's 4th of July fireworks. School tells a child to take down a drawing of the American flag. 4th of July fireworks require an environmental study. What's happening here, folks? What's happening to the United States of America that we all grew up with? Get old riff-raff, what happened to America? Conservative, TNT, what's going on? Beach bum, what's happening? Antoinette, what is going on? what's happening to the United States of America? Is this just the normal course of business? Is this how America is slated to evolve? Is there no recourse? Are we simply evolving into a nation that is neutral? That we're not American. We're American. We're not American. We're just androgynous. Remember the 80s? How many of you remember the 80s when androgyny came into play? Pretty much started by Annie Lennox of the Eurythmics, when she kind of dressed like she was neither a boy nor a girl for a little bit of a time, and then the MTV thing came out, VH1, and you had men and women sort of mixing themselves up to look neither man nor woman, androgyny. Anybody remember that? In the 80s? Androgyny. So is that what we're experiencing here, and in an androgynous America, where we're not American, but we're American, but we're not American? We don't. Is being a patriot out of fashion? Are we out of fashion? Is being a patriot not fashionable anymore? What does it mean? It's no longer fashionable to be an American. Boy George, exactly. No, neither male nor female. So are we neither American or not American? I mean, what's happening? There's a war on Christianity. Are we supposed to be neutral here? There was a time when being American was all you ever wanted to be. There are still people who risk life and limb to come here to be American, to become American citizens. Some illegally, some legitimately, but yet they come. America. We'll be right back after this brief promo.
I am the nation. I was born on July 4th, 1776, and the Declaration of Independence is my birth certificate. The bloodlines of the world run in my veins because I offered freedom to the oppressed. I am many things and many people. I am the nation. I am 200 million living souls and the ghost of millions who have lived and died for me. I am Nathan Hale and Paul Revere. I stood at Lexington and fired the shot heard round the world. I'm Washington, Jefferson, Patrick Henry. I'm John Paul Jones, the Green Mountain Boys, and Davy Crockett. I'm Lee and Abe Lincoln. I remember the Alamo, the Maine, and Pearl Harbor. When freedom called, I answered and stayed until it was over there. I left my heroic dead in Flanders fields and in the steaming jungles of Vietnam. I am the Brooklyn Bridge, the wheatlands of Kansas, and the granite hills of Vermont. I am the coal fields of the Virginias and Pennsylvania, the fertile lands of the West, the Golden Gate and Grand Canyon. I sprawl from the Atlantic to the Pacific. 3 million square miles. I'm more than 3 million farms. I'm forest, field, mountain, and desert. I'm quiet villages, and I'm cities that never sleep. You can look at me and see Ben Franklin walking down the streets of Philadelphia. I'm Babe Ruth in the World Series. I'm 130,000 schools and colleges and 326,000 churches where my people worship God as they please. I'm a ballot dropped in a box. I am an editorial in a newspaper, and I'm a letter to a congressman. I'm Thomas Edison, Albert Einstein. I'm Horace Greeley, Will Rogers, and the Wright brothers. I'm George Washington Carver, Daniel Webster, and Jonas Salk. I'm Walt Whitman, Thomas Paine, Tom Sawyer, and Walt Disney. Yes, I am the nation, and these are the things that I am. I was conceived in freedom, and God willing, in freedom I'll spend the rest of my days. May I possess always the integrity, the courage, and the strength to keep myself unshackled, to remain a citadel of freedom and a beacon of hope to the entire world. I am the nation.
We are Freedom Media Alliance. Freedom and entertainment defined. Find us on the web at freedommediaalliance.wordpress.com.
Sound the drum.
Sound the drum.
The drum.
Here we come. We are the new media. Freedom Alliance Media.
Freedom Alliance
Freedom
Media.
Alliance Media. Where the voice of freedom will lead you to the truth.
For great rock and great talk, go to www.freedommediaalliance.wordpress.com.
Wow, that tugs at the heartstrings right there. Both of those promos done by GGT and Cool Mike, two of my favorite folks, and I know you like them too. Conservative TNT has a show coming up tonight, I believe, at 10:30, of course, and then GGT and Cool Mike on at 11:30 tonight. They are wonderful. They have the best blog talk show on Blog Talk Radio, consistently on the front page of the most popular blog talk radio shows, and I'm bringing up the rear almost all the time. Yeah, but I'm coming in at number two, you know, page two, sometimes page three. But I'm really happy because there was a time when I was like page like 70. So I am really, I'm really happy to have knocked off, what's that guy's name? I think his name was Perry Steele. He was a blog talk radio powerhouse. Right up until the time he dissed his good friend Cool Mike. And then Cool Mike jumped ship, and now Prairie Show is nowhere to be found. How sad is that? Well, moving right along, yeah, you would be better if you were more progressive. Yeah. Well, thank you, Dirty White. Look, there's something bothering me right now. It's something I heard just today. I don't know if you guys know about this or not. Have you heard about it? Because I'm going to talk about it right now. Senator John Cornyn warned President Obama on Sunday to not even consider interpreting the Constitution's 14th Amendment to bypass Congress and raise the debt limit without its approval. There is talk in this administration to bypass Congress and raise the debt limit through Obama's own personal interpretation of the Constitution of the United States of America. What have we been talking about here all these months? What have we been talking about? The idea that the President of the United States might at some point decide that he's going to bypass the Constitution, bypass Congress, and just simply do his own thing and act indeed as a monarch. He has stated, for the record, that he believes that the Constitution has many flaws, that the Constitution is outdated, that the Constitution doesn't address certain new realities. So if the Obama administration chooses to disobey the Constitution or, quote, interpret the Constitution to mean one thing rather than another, and simply bypass Congress and do his own thing? Do we have a representative republic, democracy? Do we have that anymore? If the president can arbitrarily act on his own without consulting Congress, the Senate, or anybody else, he will have crossed the line into dictator. Let me make sure we get this out of the way. The proposal that Obama reinterpret, oh my goodness, Section 4 of the 14th Amendment to justify raising the $14.3 trillion debt limit has been gaining traction in Democratic circles since Treasury Secretary Timothy Geithner told reporters that the Constitution's language could support the president's raising the limit without congressional approval. Timothy Geithner said that to reporters just 2 days ago. Now, the validity of the public debt of the United States authorized by law, including debts incurred for payments of pensions and services in suppressing insurrection or rebellion, this is the important thing, shall not be questioned. Geithner read during a discussion hosted by Politico in May. Senator Chuck Schumer and others on Capitol Hill reportedly acknowledged that the idea is percolating and had been presented to the president. It's certainly worth exploring. I think it needs a little more exploration and study, he said during a conference call with reporters held Friday. Without addressing efforts to invoke the Constitution, Senator Jeff Sessions, Republican, said Sunday, the president and congressional negotiators shouldn't even be discussing a debt deal privately. Congress is the constitutional place for this to be decided, says Sessions, who is the ranking member of the Senate Budget Committee. Asked during a press conference on Wednesday, whether the debt limit was constitutional, the president glossed over the question, saying, I'm not a Supreme Court justice, so I'm not going to put my constitutional law professor hat on here. Look here. Let me be clear. This clown of a president was not a constitutional law professor. He served at the behest of a constitutional professor as a substitute teacher. You heard me right. At the University of Chicago, a school that I am very much familiar with, Obama was a simple instructor there. He was not a constitutional law professor at the University of Chicago. Look it up. Don't take my word for it. Obama did at the University of Chicago what I did as a PhD student, not a candidate, but a student. I taught many classes at Georgetown and later at William & Mary. Did that make me a professor with nothing more than a master's degree? Now, I was not a PhD candidate at the time. I was a PhD student. There's a big difference between the two. Any master's level student pursuing a PhD can teach classes at a university at the guidance and behest of an actual professor. That is what Barack Obama did. If I had the nads on me at the time to call myself a professor of history while teaching a history class, all hell would have broken loose. And I could have been expelled. Meanwhile, Barack Obama even called himself a constitutional professor. If he had a constitutional professor hat, you know what? This guy just gets to me. What a fraud. What a phony. It's disgraceful. It's disgraceful that he would even suggest that he was a constitutional law professor. I'm not going to put my constitutional law professor hat on here. No, you clown, because you don't have one. And if you have a constitutional law professor hat, you stole it from an actual constitutional law professor, because that's what you were not. What a fraud and a phony. Right then and there, I was so pissed off, because some of us go to school for years and years and years and years and damn years and study and study and study and study until more the sun goes down. You're still studying when the sun is coming up, to call ourselves professors and PhDs and all of that. We work our brains to the bone. We don't work our fingers to our brains numb to get those titles. And this clown, this idiot of a president of ours, has the nads to call himself a professor of constitutional law. That my dog is more of a constitutional professor of law than this clown. All right, I worked myself up there. Can you tell? But hey, listen, it's something that's very important to me and it's close to my heart. Don't call yourself Dr. So-and-so or Professor So-and-so if you don't have that nice big plaque to back it up. If you didn't go to school, you didn't study, you didn't do all the things, you don't punch the tickets, you didn't call yourself something that you're not. This, more than ever, gives you a window into this guy creating his own false legend. He's the guy at the University of Chicago, when the professor didn't feel like doing his class, he got up late, he wanted to go play golf, wanted to hang with the boys, or he just didn't feel like working that day, you call up Barack Obama and you say, hey, go in the classroom, the lesson plan, go to my office, pick up this lesson plan, blah, 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 go into the class and will you teach that class for the day? Barack Obama, with his tail between his legs, goes over. He has a spare key to the dean's office or to the professor's office. He goes in. He finds the proper lesson plan for that particular week or that day. Maybe the professor's on vacation. He takes the lesson plan. He goes and he teaches the class. When the professor comes back off of his sabbatical or his vacation or his cruise or his trip to Disneyland, Barack Obama goes and he's dismissed like the flunky he is, and the professor does his job. Do not call yourself a professor if you are not one, of constitutional law or anything else. The truth, indeed, Antoinette, because everybody who attended the University of Chicago at the time knows this guy's lying. Everybody, it's even out there on the web. It's even on the University of Chicago's website. He was not a professor of anything. It just doesn't work that way. Unless Barack Obama has some PhD that he hasn't told anybody about. Maybe his school records aren't, you know, haven't been made public. Maybe he's got a PhD. I don't think so. I don't think so. Okay, professors have that PhD or the other acronyms after their names. You got to have it. You have got to have it. So to say, I'm not going to put my constitutional law professor hat on and nobody called him on it. It's a stolen hat if you have one. You stole it. So you're using a fake professor hat. Now, I'm done with that. He has a PhD in being a jerk. Here I am in the beautiful Washington, D.C. area capital. I'm going to head over to Georgetown a little bit later. Party like it's 2011 or 1776. Because here in D.C., we know how to throw a party on the 4th of July. Yes, we do. And no, you're exactly right, Mary. You're exactly right. I'm not going to put my constitutional law professor hat on here because you don't have one. What the hell? I'm disgusted. I'm disgusted right now. And here I am about to head out, go over to Lincoln Memorial, have a chat, because I owe every 4th of July, no matter what's going on, I make my way to the Lincoln Memorial, and I have a nice little chat with President Lincoln, and I go on my way. It's a ritual for me on the 4th of July. No, it just keeps on getting worse. You're absolutely right. The guy is thinking about, or at least he's been told, that he could subvert the Constitution of the United States and Congress. What happens when his time is up and he decides he doesn't want to leave? Could he interpret the Constitution to mean that he doesn't have to? Could he interpret the Constitution in many other ways? If he's allowed to get away with that, if he's even allowed to consider it, game over. Game over. I say the Secret Service themselves should toss his ass out the front door. Get out. Get out. You're done. There is no way in hell that the President of the United States should be allowed to subvert the Constitution of the United States and Congress by interpreting the Constitution and what it means all on his own. Isn't that the job of those nine dudes in the dudes and ladies in the black robes not that far from where I'm sitting right now? Isn't that their job to interpret the Constitution? Why is anybody even thinking about the President of the United States interpreting the Constitution of the United States and acting? It's not his job. And I'm completely beside myself on this matter. And the matter that he's thinking about putting a Constitution of Law professor hat on that he doesn't have. So, folks, I wish I had done this show for 90 minutes. I did not. I forgot to set it properly. So now we have just a few 90 seconds left, one minute and 16 seconds. Please head over to Conservative TNT show a little bit later. And then over to GGT and Cool Mike. They have the best shows. They are the absolute best. I will be listening on my iPhone, and I may just call in. I tell you what, it's going to be a great night. I hope everyone has a wonderful time tonight. And if you're going to stay home, stay home. If you're going to head out, head out. Thank you all for coming in and listening tonight. I do appreciate it. I really appreciate everybody coming in, really, on a night like this when y'all should really be out having a good time or checking out some of the fireworks. I know you got that planned on your list if you haven't done it already. Thank y'all so much for coming in. I do really appreciate it. Everyone have a wonderful night, and we will be back tomorrow. Thank you so much. Oh, boy. Good night, folks. Thank you again. Please, the game.
it's hard to play. I'm gonna lose it anyway. The losing card I'll someday lay. So this is all I have to say. Suicide is painless.
Suicide.
It brings on many changes.
Changes.
And I can take or leave it in my sleep. Doesn't hurt when it begins, but as it works its way on in, the pain grows stronger, watch it breathe. Suicide is painless, it brings on.